Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And we are talking Sex and the City, Season 1, Episode 2. Mm-hmm. This was probably a rough watch for any models out there.
Oh, I guess.
I feel like they talked terribly about models.
Yeah, yeah, they did. Like, the 90s version of a model, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But yeah, still a fun episode nonetheless. What are your initial thoughts, my friend?
This is, I was so excited to have this episode talked about. This is the beauty, one of the beauty-centered episodes. Yes. I am very, very excited to talk about this. And I have so many notes. I have so many notes. But I think they talked about beauty in a very binary way because beauty was still in a very binary place. We didn't have the internet the same way we did. They weren't even making foundation shades the way that they make them now.
Yeah, it's a totally different time this was.
Yeah. And all of the people who they say are the ultimate version of beautiful, I don't think would be considered that today.
Right? This was a very, like, supermodel era. This was, like, the era of, like, Cindy Crawford, Christy Turlington, like, Tyra Banks, like, a very specific look. And now we have way more variety, I think. Like, those women are still beautiful in today's standards or whatever, but, like, it's definitely opened up a lot more, I would think, now.
Yeah, I think we were in an era where beauty was a lot less accessible. And that's what made the opinion so binary.
Makes sense.
There weren't a whole lot of people who had access to cheekbones and lips and butts and shape. And now, and even like flawless skin, like even people couldn't even like fucking wear foundation back then. And now that's just not the case. And you guys know one of my phrases that I live by, there are no ugly women. There are only lazy women.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
There's a lot of resources out there nowadays.
There's way too many.
And
while the standard of beauty is always going to be something that is unreachable, it's also because it's constantly changing. It is just a really good idea to have an idea of what beauty means to you outside of the male gaze. Because I remember when J-Lo had a big butt. I remember when Pippa Middleton had a big butt.
I remember that too. So they were claiming. They were trying to give her that. Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. It was really, really crazy. And I have a lot of like questions for you during this episode. But yeah, I think the talks about what beauty means don't get very deep in this episode, but I think they're really talking about pretty privilege is really what they're talking about.
Yes.
And its range of access.
Right.
But I think really, you know what? I'll get to it in my lessons learned. But my second thought and my only other thought is the use of jazz in this show. I noticed
the
jazz cues in this particular episode, and I don't think they stop until episodes 22, season 6. I think this is a constant in the show where jazz is used with men a whole lot. Okay. And the women's opinions of jazz music keeps coming up. Jazz is obviously a huge pinnacle in the New York City scene, always has been since like the 20s, and has like a lot of symbolism with the show. So I noticed that jazz comes on when Big comes in.
Yes. Yes. As you say that, I like hear it.
Right? You remember. And I started thinking about how Carrie hates jazz music. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think I do remember that being a thing. Okay.
Yeah. Because she dated a jazz musician for like an episode. And she says she hates it because it's unpredictable. Samantha loves jazz.
That makes sense.
So I am really looking forward to kind of coming back to this constant use of jazz music in the show and when the cues are and who they're for, because I think it's very, very specific. It also brings in, I think it wraps up New York as a culture too, wraps up New York as a character, I should say.
For sure.
In the show. And I just really, really love how they use it. And it's only fucking episode 2.
Cool.
Season 1.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
I love looking out for that generally, like in movies, like the how they attach music to certain characters in movies or shows. But I didn't notice that with Big. But as you said, I'm like, yeah, that is true. Whenever he walks in the room, there's like a little melody starts playing, a little saxophone comes in or some shit. So, yeah, my thoughts. Speaking of Big, I think this episode he continues with his condescension, calling Carrie's column cute. I cannot.
She's on the side of a bus, bro. Like
on a bus. The heck? The nerve.
Yeah, he had a lot. And we still don't know what he does.
Oh my God, we don't know nothing. Episode 2, he just continues to be the worst. Like how he was ever seen as like this eligible, mysterious man, the Mr. Big. Like he just sucks from episode 2. He was terrible. And then this whole idea, like the modelizer. I'm not familiar with this. I don't know any guy that only dates models. Like, I just don't.
I was going to ask you, who's the modelizer of today? What is that person?
What is
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm more so familiar with guys who have, you know, go on a date with a girl and then they decide she's not pretty enough. And so they're not going on a date number two type of thing. I'm not familiar with the guy that like only dates like perfect tens models, like things like that. But yeah.
Wait, sorry. I have a question for you about that man. Is that a man who meets people online and then they see them in person and they say, oh, she doesn't match the picture? Okay, got you.
And that's, that's the world we're in now. You're mostly meeting people, you see them online, then are they as hot, quote unquote, as what you thought they would be based on the pictures? So I know that person. But yeah, I think guys who are the modelizer, I guess, or that type of guy, like is they're so set on looks rather than character, which is to me a marker of immaturity and a guy who's just like not serious, a guy that's not trying to find his wife. He's just trying to find what's pretty, what's the good thing for tonight type of thing. But yeah, Carrie's question this episode is how powerful is beauty? And we're definitely going to talk a lot about pretty privilege. I think that's, as you said, really what the conversation was or what her question is about. And I think we all could acknowledge that beauty is like wildly important and impactful as a currency that isn't really discussed as much. I think in our little corner of the world, in this like reality TV world that we're generally in, beauty is the currency. Like that's how everyone in reality TV is like conventionally beautiful, mostly, particularly in the dating show realm, I'll say. But in terms of the real world, like it's still, I think, uncomfortable for people to talk about pretty privilege and the impact it really has in the real world. And this idea of like to be beautiful is to wield power and to gain access and to get opportunities. I think it still makes people a little like uncomfortable, but it's something that we all know to be true. So I'm excited to kind of like dive into that. What about you? Any thoughts, preliminary thoughts?
About pretty privilege, specifically?
How powerful is beauty and that, like, question?
How powerful is beauty? I have such a different take on... Well, nope, I have Samantha's same take. per usual. But I think for they're speaking in a different time. And they're also speaking all as white women. Right. So I'm looking at the people who they deem as people who gain access. And I'm like, these people are not it. Like, these people look mad regular. Like, what is this? That's not who I view as beautiful. That's not who the people who I view as beautiful. But so it's just I'm totally on the outside of their perception. But one thing I will say about the modelizer is that I think a lot of men are like this, and they are looking for their wife because they want that pretty privilege attached to them. They want the other men in their life who have more power than them to want to fuck their wife.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a part of it, I think. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So that brings them currency. That gives them a little currency, especially if they're not like a perfect 10 model themselves. You know?
Yeah. Or they don't have the best job. They think, you know what? Maybe I'll get there if I bring her to the office party. If I can see that I pulled her, maybe
they'll think differently about me, Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So it's not. I don't think it's all cut and dry with the modelizers.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyways, excited for this discussion. Obviously,
yes.
Before we dive into the episode or discussion, we did want to talk about an article, New York Times article that's been making the rounds. People are very intrigued because it is like giving us an insight into a world most of us are probably not really privy to. So there's an article in New York Times called Lessons from a 20-Person Polycule: How They Set Boundaries, Navigate Jealousy, Wingman Their Spouses, and Foster Community. And it's just a world within the polyamorous world that I've never even heard of the term polycule before I read this article.
Me either.
I think most people haven't.
Yeah.
That's why this article is making such a splash, because we're like, well, what is this? 20 people. Never heard of that. So I'm excited to break that down with you, friend, for this pre-show and talk about what we learned. And yeah, I learned a lot. There is a lot of terms in this. This article that I really just learned a lot. This one friggin' episode or article. But anyways, if you want to listen to this episode ad free with our juicy pre-show hot takes about polycules and the like, join the Rose Garden over at Patreon. On Patreon, you can also watch us on video. Just head to patreon.com/2BlackGirls1Rose. You can try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. And shout out to the Rose Garden. All right. So this episode's called Models and Mortals. And we open with Miranda. She was at a dinner party with a man she barely knew, as she said, some sports agent. She'd been in the elevator, some shit. They're at a dinner party with two other couples, including a black woman.
An interracial couple.
There are two black people in this episode. I was like, oh, we're doing big time in this episode.
Yes. Oh my gosh. People talk a lot of shit about Sex and the City and the diversity. It was bad. I will tell y'all it was bad, but it's not nearly as bad as Friends. I'm just telling you guys that right now.
Yeah, that's true. And this woman had lines too. So a black woman had speaking parts. But anyways, Miranda's at this dinner party. The women kind of in the kitchen, they're chatting with her about how the guy she's with usually has a thing for models. And we see kind of this flashback of every dinner party, same party, he brings just a string of models that are all boring. They can't carry conversation. And the women of the dinner party totally told him enough. And they're like, so that's why you're here, Miranda. It's so good to see you. You're so obviously not a model.
So
of course, Miranda's in her head about that and hates it. But yeah, imagine dating a guy who previously only dated models.
Models. That just seems, I mean, it's exactly what she said. You're the intellectual beard for the night.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Like, you're not going to marry me. There's some kind of currency that you need from me that I don't have. So I have got to exit stage left because you definitely ain't good for me either. If we want to talk about it, sports agent. Did that make you think of Carl Lentz?
Oh, no.
Oh my God. Immediately made me think of Carl Lentz because that's what he told what's her face? His mistress. He said he was a sports agent.
That's what he said.
Carl.
Oh my God.
Immediately I was like,
Oh my God, a mess. Yeah, so let's see. Carrie then talks about modelizers, these men who are obsessed with models, dating them, sleeping with them, which is a thing apparently that exists in New York at this time. Miranda hates models, and the way she spoke about models was rough. That's why I said, if you're a model watching this episode, I was like, woof.
Yeah, but that's not surprising that someone like Miranda would think
yeah.
That's so terrible.
That they're terrible. She said they're stupid, they're lazy. She said they should be shot on sight. That was a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was very extreme.
That was extreme. Giraffes with big breasts, you know, just on and on. Which I thought was interesting because she also said cute doesn't cut it in this town. And the way Miranda spoke about models and like in this town, like it doesn't cut, was how I think of like Miami or LA or like Atlanta.
Not really New York.
I feel like cute girls do well in New York because the population is so eclectic. But when I think of like Miami, I think of like a specific type of girl that thrives.
Right.
LA, especially LA at this time, blondes with big boobs.
Yeah.
So
LA now.
Right.
I think LA all the time. I think what you said is right, that it's New York is an eclectic place. Chicago's also an eclectic place because there's more jobs.
More industries. Yeah.
There's way more industries that people can work in. And that women can work in and thrive in. And they can look all kinds of ways. And so
Yeah. The way she was characterizing, I was like, that's not the New York I think, but maybe back then in that time. Yeah. As a 30-year-old white woman, that's what I'm seeing, you know. Maybe.
Yeah.
So anyways, we see the ladies, Carrie, Samantha, Miranda, and Charlotte. They have a little ladies' night in, eating out of the Chinese box, you know, that classic takeout that no one eats like that, but sure.
I've never eaten out of the takeout carton like a savage, but also never. It gave me that Carrie doesn't have plates, which tracks.
Seems to track. That tracks. Absolutely. But yeah, they discuss how we live in a culture that promotes impossible standards of beauty, but men think they're possible, which is still very true today, I would say. You know, now in this day and age with the injectables and just the accessibility of being able to do surgeries or just like little cosmetic procedures, a lot of people's face and body, especially the people you see on Instagram, is fake. And that has become the standard of beauty. It's literally impossible to do without filler, surgery, all the things. Men don't fully understand that world yet.
No.
So they don't even know that this is not, you know, these expectations that they might have a girl to have a fat ass or whatever, like, that's not a real booty that you're looking at, sir. Like,
Or a real face. Like, you know, we can even talk about like real fake, like what that means or whatever. But even we just recorded and spoke about Crystal Lee on Love is Blind Sweden and how she looked different without makeup on, because now women are learning how to play with shadows. Women are learning how to really do their makeup in a way that they can appear however they
want to appear.
That's damaging, I think, to a lot of men. And to men,
they just have no clue. Not a clue. But yeah, the women were each kind of like complaining about something that they hate about their looks, and Samantha's just sitting there in silence, like
silence. You know what's interesting too? Charlotte said her thighs, and she's been saying thighs. She always says thighs. They kept that with that character.
Oh, interesting. The consistency, her insecurity just carried it through. So yeah, Carrie's question, she brings up, how powerful is beauty? We see her did a little street interviews. She interviews this model who brings up essentially pretty privilege, how being beautiful is a power and you can get to do anything. And I remember the first time I heard the term pretty privilege was Janet Mock when she wrote that, I think it was an article. About pretty privilege. That was the first time I remember hearing that term and her putting it on paper, something that we all knew to be true but never really like spoke about. I feel like I've heard people talk a lot about men and height, how men they've been studying this forever. Like men who are above 6 feet make, you know, $300,000 or whatever above, you know, guys who make or 5'6" or whatever. I think height is something people understand, but like, because beauty is so subjective, like no one wants to talk about it really, or it's just like weird to go there. So, yeah. You remember that article, Janet Mock?
I know I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Janet. I hope she's all right. I haven't heard about her.
Me neither. Shit.
Yeah. It worries me, but.
I know. Lord.
Okay. Hope we see you at the Met Gala, girl.
But yeah, they interview this other model who's, you know, again, rough characterization of model. She's like, I'm not dumb. I read magazines. And I think that's one of the obvious downsides that they were really playing into the stereotype of being beautiful is like not being taken seriously, being underestimated. Right. Emily Ratajkowski. She wrote a satirical sounding essay about this exact this exact plight of hers. Oof. Of not you know, being so beautiful people don't take her seriously, and her kind of like, I don't know, woe is me, that is hard to digest, that like it's hard because it's we know the benefits that one receives from being pretty and beautiful, and I feel like they massively outweigh the downsides of being underestimated. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, I think in my the fact that, I think even the fact that we know that Emily Ratajkowski writes anything is pretty privilege, because there are plenty of people who don't look like her who write about pretty privilege who we don't know about their articles, or people don't know them by name.
Yeah.
And she wants to be known like those people, like Tressie McMillan Cotton, like some other of our sociologists of the world, Brittany Packnett Cunningham, who's my girl who invented Me Too, but everybody else claims it. Oh my God, I can see her face. I can't remember her name. I can see her face. She was just at the Time Gala in an ugly dress. But there are a bunch of people who should know their name the way that we can just rattle off Emily Ratajkowski, but we don't, because they're not nearly as propped up as Miss Emily is with her podcast, with her Instagram, with her TikTok, because of how she looks. And she also makes dumb decisions, like putting on a pair of jeans that's four sizes too big, stretching out the waist and taking a picture for a magazine.
Oh, I never saw that.
Dumb. Decision. That was a dumb thing to do. So now I don't take you seriously, Emily. Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, there's to have that kind of woe is me mentality is really, really bizarre. One person who I will say does not have that woe is me mentality is a little bit forthcoming about it, but I like how she talks about it, is Megan Fox.
Okay.
Megan Fox talks a lot about how she looks and how she's gotten to where she's been. And, you know, that's a smart, smart lady who has manipulated herself quite a bit over the years since she was about 15. And we don't know, like, she doesn't know where she'd be. And she also is like trying to break free of the image that she created of herself. I think another person who's very interesting to look at in this way is Kylie Jenner, because we do not know what that person was supposed to look like.
Yeah.
She looks completely different from what she was supposed to grow up to look like. And she sold her cosmetics on the back of lying about surgery. Sorry, that was a tangent. But.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I think we talked about Megan Fox.
Yeah, a couple weeks
like
ago.
She's been writing poetry. She's been very open about her experience of like coming in this world, leaning into being the sex symbol, and how that kind of like backfired for her, like mentally, and not being taken seriously, not getting different jobs because of that sex symbol. You know. Character, I guess, that she's like played into in her career. And so I'm inclined to like read her poetry, like hear more from her than this like Emily Ratajkowski person, because that essay, I remember the think pieces on think pieces ripping that shit. It was rough to read.
I do have a quick question for you, friend. Do you have an idea of beauty that is like completely outside of the white patriarchal standard?
Like what I find beautiful?
Yeah. What or who or like how even people like express beauty. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I'm, as y'all could tell, I'm very au naturel. I'm into the natural look of things. Natural hair, natural faces. Like, I love, I mean, I kind of fashion myself as someone like very eclectic and like non-conforming, I like to think. And so anybody that kind of looks a little different or plays into those features, one person I'm thinking of, Michaela Cole, I love her.
Ooh, yes. I think she's not natural, but yeah.
Not natural. I know. We know now she's done stuffed her face, but she has such a striking face that I think now gets a lot of love, but I don't know if it got a lot of love like 10 years ago, maybe when she started. She wears a buzz cut, you know, just things like that, that is just really playing into her natural features, enhancing those natural features, that she has very dark skin, like generally not seen as beautiful. That I'm attracted to. And that I find a lot of like solace in, because I'm a girl that doesn't really... I've never been one that's like been into like makeup or into enhancing myself in other ways. I mean, I guess I wore wigs and weaves and things like that. But like the injectables, the surgery, like I just, to each their own, but it's just something that doesn't really speak to me in that way. Yeah. What about you?
Well, that's so funny that you bring up Michaela. I think her enhancing her and highlighting her natural beauty is why her work is so good and why nobody knew for so long.
Yeah, it's so subtle that she did anything to her face.
I've had the same beauty icons for a long time. My grandmother and Morticia Adams. And those are the two that I like absolutely love and live for. There's a lot of like artistry that I love when people express themselves in any sort of way, whether it's fashion, beauty. Those are the two main ones that I can constantly look at and say, like, oh my God, that's beautiful. Because people are like authentically expressing themselves, whatever that is, whatever they, even if they do inject their face, I don't really care about that. But I care if you're authentic in the way that you express your beauty and how you want to look. And it's not just like, oh, I want to look good like this for a man, or I want to look like this for this person, you know?
Yeah. Authenticity. 1,000% So anyways, Carrie meets up with her hot male friend / painter / modelizer.
Yeah.
This guy was fucking creepy.
I feel like he was selling those tapes and that's how he keeps that apartment in Soho.
Yeah, it was very weird, this character.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just calls models like beautiful things. They're easy to sleep with, like blase blah. He shows Carrie this his new art piece, which is a bunch of TVs showing sex tapes of him fucking models. And they don't know that they're being videotaped.
And he's looking direct to camera.
And Carrie's just like smoking her cigarette, like watching. And
yeah,
like,
watching. Like, oh my God.
We're not talking about the violation of these women. Yeah. It's like, whoo, this show is not aging well. Here we go. We see Carrie and her signature fur coat. Love this coat. It shows up forever, like through all the seasons. And yeah, she's with Skipper. Skipper is catching feelings for Miranda and catching up Carrie on this, and she won't return his calls. And he, you know, calls. I think Carrie whips out this monstrous cell phone, ginormous fucking
this house phone
cellular device. It was enormous.
I was like, what purse does she have that in?
What does that fit in? Yeah. I remember my dad saying his very first cell phone or mobile device, like a phone that you could take out, had a case, had like a briefcase to it. Yes. Oh my God. This is what that was given. It's like it's its own case. This can't fit nobody's phone.
Yeah. It's like a Tesla. She busts that out of her purse.
Right. Carrie and Stanford go to a fashion show. And Carrie meets Stanford's new client / obsession, his underwear model named Derek. Miranda's at the show as well. She's sitting front row. She's flirting already with Carrie's like creepy painter friend.
Oh, Samantha. Yeah.
Samantha.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And then, at the fashion show after party, Carrie runs into Big, who is fucking everywhere. What is this job, sir, that you were just out here on the town all the damn time?
I would love more context.
Yeah. What is this? But yeah, he tells Carrie that he's been reading her column and says, oh yeah, I read it. It's cute.
How is she attracted to him, you think?
I don't know. Immediately I'd be turned off. This guy sucks.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's a disrespectful thing to say. What the hell, Carrie? How did you move forward with him after he called your column cute? Like, what? Oh, Lord. But yeah, she tells him about her latest column about modelizers and beauty. And he says, you know, well, maybe some men just like exceptionally good looking women. And that's that. And at that moment, up walks another black person. Shout out to that girl.
Who's getting sex from the apparently, you know, the big hotshot.
From the hotshot in the show, yeah.
It's like, okay, we have black women seemingly to be attractive. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know? We don't get that in, like, you know, like The Idol. I remember, like.
Oh, God.
Modern TV, we sometimes don't see that. So.
Right.
In The Bachelor, we don't see that. Like.
We don't see on The Bachelor. That's true. Hardly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, up walks this like beautiful black woman. She's dates big, or Jesus Christ, she's Big's date for the night. And he's just like, "All right, see you around, Carrie," and like leaves.
Ugh.
Carrie, she's feeling invisible at this party, so she decides to leave.
Yeah.
And on her way out, she runs into Derek, the underwear model, who basically invites himself over to her apartment.
Yeah, this was also a nod to that pretty privilege that they were talking about. Right? Like, this guy can just get in anywhere. He's not a serial killer. He'll just
he's totally fine. He's totally fine. A complete stranger that you met 2 hours ago. Okay.
Yeah. And I found it interesting that the main character of the show who's doing research also exhibited the behavior that she's researching. Because if somebody who did not look like this model said, I'm coming over, she would be like, no, you're not. The fuck? No. Get out of this cab.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she did say it's research. She like looked in the camera. She's like, you know, I got to do my research. But yeah, she brings Derek home. He says he doesn't date models. And there's something that Carrie said. She said, I wonder if there wasn't some sort of physics for beauty. Maybe two models repel. Maybe models could only be attracted to ordinary humans. Like, that made her think after he. And I couldn't help but wonder, friend.
I couldn't help but wonder.
Oh, boy.
Do you remember the best looking person you've ever dated or hooked up with? And how you felt? Crunch aside.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to say, I really do feel like it's crunch. But outside of that, yes, I do. He was the Harvard guy.
Oh, yes.
He was really fucking good looking. He was good looking. He had a gray body. He was like, yeah.
Do you remember how you felt when you're like, oh, man, I'm with that guy?
I remember thinking, I remember thinking, like, this tracks. this makes sense. I think because I was so much younger than him.
Okay.
And so I felt like he felt like I was a young spring chicken taking him out. I felt like he was this very established man.
Okay.
And that dynamic was fun for me to like play in. We were very much aware that we were playing at the time.
Yeah.
We went on 3 dates. And we knew by the end of the 3rd date that it was done and dusted. We had gotten what we needed from each other, and that was it.
I
kind of treated him like he was like a little like doll. Like he was like just a fantasy.
Yeah. A pretty thing. Or whatever.
Yeah, a pretty thing. Yeah, said. Like
a beautiful little thing or something like that.
Yeah. And also like I teased him for being old. Like, we kind of just, like, played really deeply into these roles that we both had, like, a lot of fun with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great story to tell.
Yeah.
Generally, you get a good story out of it.
Yeah.
The end of it. Yeah. I was thinking of my example. I remember in college during study abroad, I had, like, a drunken makeout with this really hot guy that went to my college. And I Googled him in preparation for this. And he has not aged well.
Oh, no!
Not age well.
Oh no.
But I remember thinking it was the hottest fucking thing. So it was study abroad. I'm in Sydney. This is like 2010, and I had this weird, like, texting flirtation relationship thing going on with this guy from my school who was also studying abroad from my school. And so not this guy, separate. And we met up a couple times, we kissed like once or twice, but it was just like weird. It was like every time we were drunk, we'd like text each other, where are you? Let's, you know, whatever, like a drunk flirtation
thing. Oh my God, college was good for that.
But good lived in them texts, boy. Like,
oh my God. Oh, wow. Yeah, you just.
The drunking like text guy, like.
Yes. Yeah. Whoa. Oh my God, you just took me back to it.
Took
me back. I haven't thought about it in a long time.
I know.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, I had this thing going on with this guy, texting weird, and like it was getting boring because we weren't like doing, like we made out once or twice, but like I'm in Australia, I'm like running around doing other things. But anyways, I remember one night running into him, and he had some friends visiting from our same college. They weren't studying abroad with us, but they flew to Sydney to like visit him and some other friends.
Whoa.
It was like a bunch of them. They were in the same frat and they like had a
big I see.
Sydney trip or whatever. One of his friends was so damn hot, and somehow I was like drunkenly making out with him the whole rest of the night in front of the original guy.
Hold on. I need you to paint me a picture. I need celebrity lookalikes if we can get them.
Oh, man.
Do we have any?
Celebrity lookalikes? He's tall, dark, and handsome, I would say. For a white guy.
That means
white.
That, right. Tall. I think of Idris Elba. Who do you, what do you mean?
A white guy, so tall, dark hair, dark features.
Okay.
Chris dark Hemsworth. Scruff. No, Chris Hemsworth, I think, like, isn't he blonde? Who's tall? Oh. Tall, dark.
Who's the one they call Jamal? Because he flirts with black girls. But he married Ana de Armas.
I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about?
That was another Chris.
Like that?
Yeah, maybe, sure, case. Yes.
Okay.
Brown hair, black hair, like that type of vibe.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So just way better looking than the fucking weirdo that was texting the whole time. But this is a straight up friend, like a good friend.
Yes, brother.
Like a literal frat brother. And I was like, ooh, him. Was gone the whole night, making out with him the whole night in front of the original guy. And I remember, in terms of how I feel, because I was like, how did I feel? I'm like looking back like, God, that was a slutty little moment. I remember feeling bad because I was literally, his friend is like watching us the whole time because it's happening.
Oh.
Feeling bad, but I also didn't care because he was so hot and I was so happy to be making out with him.
Love
and I was just like, fuck it. You're lame. Your friend's hot. We're not going to ever be anything. So I don't.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, there's something I gotta get off my chest, girl.
Tell me.
I've been low-key struggling with my relationship with my phone and social media. Just the over-accessibility these devices create, this addiction to Instagram, the distraction from everyday life and the people closest to me, it's been really stressing me out. I'm not even going to lie.
I mean, that makes sense. Content overload is very real, and staring at everybody's highlight reels can be overwhelming and can absolutely steal your joy and peace. Yeah. We carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. You all know we're huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout different stages of my life and areas where I've needed help, from eating disorders to new relationships to my ever-changing relationship with my family. Therapy has really helped me to set boundaries and prioritize my self-care.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
I shouldn't feel that bad. And
yeah.
Thanks for bringing your friend.
You see, guys, this is why we tell you not to get married at 22.
Right, because that would have been the guy I married. I don't remember his name. I looked him up, fucking aged horribly. Like, oh, God.
You know, because you got to have the stories. You got to look back.
It's a story, though.
That you know you fulfilled, that you're from the wildest fantasies at certain moments. It's just fun.
It's fun. It's a good story, if anything.
Yes.
Live to tell it on this podcast today. Anyways, Carrie, her and Derek are literally smoking cigarettes in the bed. So gross.
I know, and in the bed, in their club clothes. Like, you just let this man come into your bed clothes. In his street clothes? This is disgusting.
So gross. But yeah, Derek is harmless. They like fall asleep and like do nothing.
Oh my God. He asked for sleep support like Bria.
He did. Like Bria from Summer House. Yes. He's like, let's just cuddle. We don't have to do anything. She's like, all right. Let's see. Miranda, she's out. She runs into Skipper at the bodega.
Mm-hmm.
And he confronts her, like, why aren't you calling me back? And she's like, don't you just want to date someone your own age? I forgot Skipper's, like, younger, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Young and, like, eager. And he calls her luminous, and she melts. And is like, just come back to mine. Whatever. Samantha's off fucking the model sex tape. To like fucking predator dude,
and she's looking in the camera now. Mm-hmm. She's good for a role reversal.
She is. She will reclaim something as hers, like immediately. Mm-hmm. And then at the end we see Carrie. She is at a coffee shop. She's like working on her piece. Mm-hmm. Big runs into her. He's guys everywhere. Like,
I don't know how he keeps finding her.
Yeah, the fuck. Anyways, he says, you know, he's been thinking about her article and her piece and says, mm-hmm. there's a lot of beautiful women in the city, but after a while, you just want to be with the one who makes you laugh.
Makes you laugh.
Drops that little nugget and bounces.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that was the episode.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So this question, how powerful is beauty, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we know it's very powerful. Beauty can open mm-hmm. doors, opportunities. That would otherwise be barred to you if you don't have a certain face, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's very obviously our not even just our society, because I think in other cultures it's the same. Like, we're just mm-hmm. watching Love is Blind Sweden. Everybody there is beautiful. Like, it's the same no mm-hmm. matter what. Like, it's a currency. And you get a lot of prizes and praise for having mm-hmm. certain heights and beauties and looks. And I had to remember, do you remember Prison Bay? Do you remember that guy?
Girl, not only do I remember Prison Bay, he mm-hmm. just came out with a book.
Yes, he did. When I Googled that, I was like, oh, he's still out here.
He's still out here, girl.
Oh, my God. Prison Bay, he went 1 minute from his mugshot being posted on Facebook to the next. Mm-hmm. He was literally walking shows in Milan and mm-hmm. dating Chloe Green, who is the heiress of Top Shop. And they have a kid together now.
Like, yes.
That could literally only happen because he had that face. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't come for me now, but Rihanna. I love Rihanna to death.
Same.
Love her.
I just did a story about this. Okay. Yeah.
But we all know Rihanna can't really carry a tune and she can't dance.
Nope.
Her face.
Neither.
Her energy, the whole packaging of who she is and that character of Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
That launched a $1 billion enterprise. Like, could she have done that if she did not have that face? Like,
I don't think people would have believed her the same way that they believe, you know, like, she's trying to sell beauty products, right? Was that her first venture? Or was her first one? Was Fenty Beauty, I want to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think people don't want to talk about it because it's like, oh, you hating on Rihanna. I'm not hating.
No.
I'm not hating.
You're delusional.
Exactly. If we're not going to acknowledge one an obvious. Yeah. And it just really shows you the power of how a face, like a certain face, can really just open doors, open access for you. I was thinking also about the women of Selling Sunset. The first category to being hired to work at the Oppenheim Group, you have to be attractive to them.
Look at
to them too.
Two lizards that you work for.
Those toads
that you work for. Girl, I'm not buying a house with the two shrimps. Get out of here.
Oh my God. But to even get access, right? To even work at the Oppenheim Group, which is, those women make bank. But that literal position, like, is not even accessible to you as a woman if you don't fit that specific type. And all those women have a very specific look to them out in LA at the Oppenheim Group. But yeah, I think like beauty is obviously in the eye of the beholder, but I do think our society is also very clear on what's beautiful, particularly in this Western society, want to say thin, white or fair skin, generally long hair, straight teeth, good height. And if you fit the mold, you get a lot of benefits. And if you don't, I'm saying life is hard, but you don't get doors swinging open to you as you do if you are Emily Ratajkowski, as we said before. What do you think about this idea of like beauty and power and access and opportunities?
Yeah, I think it definitely has its perks. I definitely saw the amount of pretty privilege that I lost when I was at my highest weight.
How people treat you different.
A lot less people. People treated me completely differently. I got a lot more people ignoring me. I got a lot more people not even invading my space, but not even coming near me. And then even now, losing weight, seeing that pretty privilege come back is like pretty scary. But I think there are people, Rihanna included, who can use it to benefit and uplift, right? Because her first venture was Fenty Beauty, but Fenty Beauty's first mission was inclusion.
Right.
Which a lot of pretty privileged people would not do. Because they don't want anybody to come with them.
And they don't have to. That's almost like a noble thing that she's doing. She didn't have to do that at all.
Yeah, she didn't. And so to use it for good is also pretty easy. And I think if more pretty people, you know, quote unquote pretty people used it, I think, you know, we'd be in a better place. But I think it's just important, as we live in a pretty privileged society, that you have your own idea of beauty, that you stick with that own idea, because it's surrounding you. It's everywhere. I saw it in the old company that I worked for. The people who were above, who managed anyone, the women who managed anyone, all looked exactly the same. Exactly the same. And it's because all of the men who were in leadership wanted to have sex with them. And everybody else was not human. It just is what it is. Like, it just, it's so it does affect your life. It affects how you get paid. It does. And I hate that that's the reality, but for a lot of people it is.
Yeah, I think also, like, so the flip side of pretty privilege. So I was digging online, trying to research, like, okay, if I'm a, what are the pretty, the people who are experiencing pretty privilege, what are they saying, or like the downsides, right? Like, what do they say are the challenges of that identity? Because the one thing that we saw on the show, not being taken seriously. And even with that, I feel like if a man doesn't want to take you seriously, he won't, regardless of how you look. We saw it with Big calling Carrie's column cute. Like, he just doesn't give a fuck in general, whether she was cute or not. But yeah, to your point about the women at your company, like only being promoted because of the way they look and their higher ups wanting to, you know, have sex with them or whatever. I think definitely one of the downsides is like the constant objectification. That's something that I think pretty people would say is like a huge downside, just being dealing with unwanted advances, you know, slimy men, people just like, thinking that you're up for the taking because you're this, again, a beautiful thing. And that's how they see you, right? Another thing I saw online when I was researching was people downplaying your hard work and success, like the belief that you can't be both beautiful and intelligent. Like, you only got to where you were because you were beautiful. Like, how that can also be infuriating. That's another way of not being seen or taken seriously, I guess. And yes, I think it's not all dealing with jealousy was another thing girls saying, like, hard for them to, like, make girlfriends because of, you know, people, you know, their own insecurities or whatnot. So, yeah, there's definitely the upsides and the downsides. I think it's, yeah, you got to talk about both, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like,
Definitely. Yeah, because it's not like the managers at my company who are promoted because of how they look were taken seriously. They absolutely were not.
Right. If they were giving privileges just because of how they looked like that.
Yeah.
And not their the merit of their work, which I'm sure that's how they would have maybe preferred to be judged. I think another question I have for you, friend. So in terms of dating, talking about modern dating, particularly dating on apps, which is a visual, you're literally just judging people on their face and beauty, right? Do you think being beautiful is still just as powerful in the app space? Or do you think it's a bit different because there's more control, I guess? You're curating your profile in a way.
Yeah, I was going to say it's definitely more because you like, as we say, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. A lot of beauty lies in confidence and how you carry yourself. And we see that with Samantha fucking this modelizer. He was like, yeah, I'll give her a try. I'll give her a shot because she's walking around as if she's just as good as everybody else. And so when you have a dating profile, there's like no vibes. So you can curate yourself into a very confident person if you want to. And now I know Hinge now has the voice messages. So I know that those vibes are coming through strong, especially for those men.
Yeah.
I think that's getting tough.
That was one of the weirdest things they did. Like, I understand the value in hearing the voice 100%, but it's just unleashed the weirdos and, like, the fuck shit even more so than just the pictures we're doing.
But do you think like, even on that, I'm talking about, you know, regular dating, regular swiping, we're not talking about catfish.
You know, I was gonna bring it up.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, just
one of our favorite movies.
One of our favorite movies. You have to talk about catfish. Like, the way, there's no way that Neve would have even talked to that woman had he seen her real face. That goes for a lot of people.
She said.
Yeah. And that's why Catfish is still in season fucking 10 or whatever it is now. Probably past 10. I think the show's still on, which is nuts. People are still out here catfishing. I can't. Yeah, I think just the fact that that show exists still to this day, people are acknowledging the power of beauty and how they know that I can't get access to certain people. I can't even find love. I can't, you know, I would never be able to talk to Neve or build a connection with him even if he saw my face, no matter how our profiles match completely, you know?
Yeah, right.
And that's, yeah, that just proves off-rip just the power of it. As far as dating apps, I agree with you. I think ironically, dating apps have created a playing field for less beautiful or average looking people to find love, to get validation, to be approached. You know, I knew for myself going into apps, as much as I didn't want to date on apps, I felt, and I was still very like pessimistic, like this ain't gonna work, this whatever. I still did feel like there was a chance for me to meet a guy because I was that girl. I was never getting approached in public. Like I don't know if men thought I was ugly or I was just unapproachable. I don't know.
Why did you think that was?
I think there's definitely, for me, an unapproachability. I'm not the friendliest. Like, I don't have this.
I didn't want to say it. But what I tell you, of no new friends was a person. But like, you're just very satisfied with your people. You just like people. You just don't need nothing. You don't need nothing else.
But I'm thinking back when I was single and open and we were out here in these streets, right? Like, in my head, I'm giving the vibe of like, I'm single, I'm open, come approach me. But something I was giving off was like, that bitch ain't it. Like, maybe I had a scowl on my face. It was very hard for me to hold eye contact. Like, that was a struggle for me as
Yes.
well.
Yeah.
So I don't know what my sister got that gene, because she will meet guys at the gym. She meet guys at cafe, restaurants, brunch. Yeah. People just flock to her. You know, she's getting numbers all the time. That was never me. So I felt like, oh my God, online dating, like, this is made for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I could show my personality. I could show my character. I could get a chance in a way that, like, just standing at the bar, like, I just wasn't really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think dating apps have... they're still proving that there is still power to beauty. You know, the beautiful girls online are still getting all the swipes, getting all the dates, blah, blah, blah. But for the non-conventional, the in-betweens, the average looking, the, you know, less attractive, whatever you want to call it, the shorter men,
I was just going to say.
Yeah, the short kings, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they get in some play. And that's because with the dating apps, you're allowed to show more of a rounded viewpoint. And you don't have to rely on just... you know, the face and being approached at a bar. You can, someone can fall in love with other aspects. Nate and I have talked about that. I think I've talked about this on the podcast as well. Nate, we've talked very openly about this. I don't think I was someone he would maybe have approached at a bar.
Because, right.
I mean, right, yeah. All his girlfriends have all looked different. I'm the most different looking from them, though, because I'm like, I mean, there's the one Latina, but she and I look totally different. Like, it's not like that was like a thing. But I think Hinge really gave us an opportunity we might not have had we met in real life, because it was not just obviously he's attracted to me, but it wasn't just that. It was the profile, the personality, the things, the interests, the other things in my profile that was like, oh, yeah, let me swipe right on this girl. You know what I mean? Versus if I was just standing at the edge of a bar and he's never approached a black girl. He's never thought about dating a black girl. He's, you know, or not even black. Maybe he just, again, I'm sitting there with my scowl. He would have never, you know, approached me.
A scowl and an afro of 4C hair. And
right.
Like, at that time, you were so confident in who you were, too. So, like, approaching you had to, like, really come with something, you know?
Come with something,
Yeah.
And so I think it was definitely like in the cards for us to meet in the way that we met.
Yeah.
Because I'm not approaching him. And then he's acknowledging that he might have been too intimidated to approach me.
You wouldn't approach him? Oh, yeah. You weren't approaching people.
Period. I'm not approaching nobody. Hell no.
Got you. Okay. Yeah.
Don't follow me, y'all. You see the man go after him. But that me back then, 28-year-old, it was 28 when I met Nate. Yeah. I was not in that headspace of confidence to just walk up and, you know. I don't know. Just like throw myself at somebody in that way.
Yeah.
Need a little liquid courage to do that, I would think.
Yeah.
So yeah, shout out to the dating apps. I think it's giving everybody
a chance. Shout out to the dating apps. And real quick, I do want to say, and I've said this before, but for anybody new listening, my first impression of Nate, Natasha said he was 5'9", and he said that on the apps. And I was like, And then we got there and he really was 5'9".
He is an honest
man. And I was like, yes! Already we're on a great start!
The height checked out. Because 5'9", usually meant 5'7".
5'6"? Yeah!
Oh my God.
Wow. Oof. Ooh, I can't wait to talk more. Because I had such the opposite meeting with Crunch. I was like sauntering over to him like a siren. Yeah. Like a succubus.
Succubus. Oh my God. I mean, maybe in a different context. I think, you had the privilege of getting to like see Crunch from a non-romantic perspective for a very long time, right?
Yeah. Yes. And
to think about, ooh, how can I approach him, or how do I slide in, or ooh, he's giving me eyes. I think there is something there, like, you know.
Yeah. I was most attracted to the way that he respected his female coworkers. Rather than, I mean, he's big, he's tall, he's handsome, like all that stuff. But I was like, but the way you treat my friends who have bigger jobs than you, that's really what is attractive to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And gives you more allowed. The confidence to like approach him as well in that way.
Yes, right, because I knew that he respected women. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So one thing that Big said at the end of the episode, in the middle of the episode, maybe some men just like exceptionally good looking women.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's true? And can mm-hmm. we really fault those men?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think like we said in the very beginning of this episode, all the rules reel back to patriarchy. So I think that those men are using those unbelievably beautiful women in order to wield their power, in order to wield their power in a patriarchal society. I don't think it's because they actually value their beauty as something just for the woman. They have to be able to use that beauty as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I thought immediately of Leonardo DiCaprio when Big was like with his model girlfriend in the show. I think it's weird. I think, as you said, it's weird for men to just be chasing what the world thinks is beautiful. And it just feels very like phony, like they're doing it for some, they're using it for something, right? Mm-hmm. They're not actually in, like that interested in this woman if they're just going after her for her face. But yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio, this man's 49 years old. He's a perpetual bachelor. He's always dating some 25-year-old model. Always.
He's a modelizer.
A literal modelizer. Damn. And they like age out. Once they hit a certain age, they're like, he like moves on to the next. It's crazy.
That was somebody's birthday cake, was like, you're too old for Leo. I forget who.
Oh my God.
It was one of his ex-girlfriends.
What?
Someone put that in the cake. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's just, he's a literal modelizer, but it's just interesting. Like he just swap one out, swap one in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's really it. And some of them he's dated for several years, you know, not just 1 year. It's not just jumping around like 1 year here, 1 year there. Mm-hmm. But I think he's very obviously not interested in marriage. Like, I'm not even sure how interested he is in these women. Like, you know, he to me gives like sad, lonely old man. Like,
very
old still man be doing in a this.
Shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old man in a shoe.
That's what he gives, bro. He's like a cat lady.
Yeah. Like, so to the question, like, do I fault these men? Like, yeah, I hear you, Big. Like, some men do just love exceptionally beautiful women, but they're more than just their face. And the fact that you're only going for their face and you're doing it person after person after person, like, that's what a modelizer is. Like, that's, I do fault them. Because now you're almost treating them just like as objects. And that's weird. And that's where we have to find folly.
Exactly. Because there's, on the other end of that, George Clooney, who is a retired modelizer.
Yes.
And that's now true. Is literally Mr. Amal. Like, he can just sit on the side. <He's>, because she's changing the world. And he's fully aware of that. He is her date now.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere they go.
That's true. Yeah. She's out here doing UN press conferences, whatever the fuck she's doing, changing the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big also said in the episode at the end, right? I feel like he kind of like redeemed himself a little bit. There's a lot of beautiful women in the city. After a while, you just want to be with the one who makes you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the realization most men have when they finally decide they're ready to get serious in a relationship?
Yeah, I think that's the one that George came to in particularly. And I think it's something that it probably takes them a really long time to get there. Mm-hmm. And sadly, it probably takes them some sort of like really large moment in their life because they stop going for chasing for what is of the moment, right? You know what another one I think of? Tristan Thompson.
Who else does he date? I only know
he's another one. He just dates a very specific type. And he only dates that girl.
Yeah.
He's very much just chasing like who other people will find attractive.
Right. And the women, they just feel interchangeable. They
absolutely.
Just slide her to the left, put this one in, and that's it's like, are you getting at the person at all, or is it just a look that you're trying to fill? Like,
yep. Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. Weird. Very.
It's strange. Yeah. I think Rice said Big kind of redeemed himself, because I do think that is a realization that men eventually get to at all different ages. George Clooney took him to like 55 or whatever. Leo's not realizing that yet, but I think a lot of men do at some point realize that, which is what Miranda says when their light is on, that it's important for me now finally to stop focusing on just the looks, you know. I have to finally realize that looks fade. I need someone to talk to, I need someone to laugh, I need someone to travel with, I need someone to raise kids with. And it's like, we all know in theory looks fade, beauty is you know, a dime a dozen, like whatever, but it really, to your point, it probably does hit some moments. I wonder if we ask these men, like, what was that like, what triggered you to finally have that realization that I need to find a mother for my children and not just like a hot thing, you know? I need someone that I can laugh with and like travel with and not just have sex with and that's it. Like, I'm really curious, what is that? Because it's a thing. It's definitely a thing. Yeah. But like, what is it that like clicks it over to like them accepting that as a truth?
Do you know any ladies like this, like Samantha, who only dates very hot men?
I know maybe not just very hot men, but I know women who are very set on like a specific look,
a type. Okay.
I don't know if they're hot or, you know, what, but very specific height, you know, thing, like height.
Oh yeah, yeah. The height requirement is so weird to me.
Yeah.
Well, I say that I'm 5'3". That's what I'm doing at. Sorry, guys.
But that too, I think, is similar to men having this realization, like, fuck, I need to find somebody who can like make me laugh. Women too, eventually, the women's with the strong height things eventually get to that point where it's like, I need somebody that can make me laugh, and the height doesn't matter. But yeah, people with strong height restrictions are like, you know, black man with a beard, he's gotta have a beard, has to have a beard. Oh, like,
what
specific? Oh. yeah
what?
You like what you like. That's what they think is beautiful, that's what they're most attracted to, that's, you know, what they want.
That's so specific though.
Very specific. Yeah,
because a beard hides a lot, you know what I'm saying? You ever seen James Harden with nothing on?
Oh my god, what is that?
Don't, is there a picture of that? Don't look it up now.
I'm gonna look it up. No, I never thought about that.
Oh,
is this before he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. So he's also very young, but you know, he looks very different.
Very different. Yeah. Oh wow, he does.
Yeah. Oh,
interesting.
Ooh, right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. The beard did him wonders, I'd say.
Absolutely. But it's odd that the presence of a beard, that's like asking for a BBL. I know. That's like so weird to me.
It's very specific.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I think those are like obviously like things that are immature and like does not make for a good partner. So
right.
I think in all realms, men and women, at some point I remember busting out of my, he's got to be 6'2". He's got to be.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Every year that shit.
Fantasy.
My man bun, my height. Every year is like that. I was single. I was like, all right, 5'9".
5'9".
5'8". Okay. Like. Because you start to, it's just not important. You just start to realize how unimportant some of those things are. And it's time to get serious and find somebody, as Big said, who's going to make you laugh forever. Yeah. That's that.
Yeah.
Last question I have for you.
Yes.
Carrie says this, that being beautiful is like having a rent control department overlooking
the park. Oh my God. Yes.
It's just unfair.
Hands around this.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that little analogy? And just like, is it just unfair that that's beauty and that's, we can't really do anything about it?
I think it's such a fantastic analogy because an apartment is rented. And beauty, the standard of beauty is ever changing.
Okay. Yeah.
And I just... from being in a body that has gone from being the norm of what people tell you is like incredibly overweight and terrible to being the, what people go and lay down and get surgery for, risk their life for. I can just tell you that it is not, it is an apartment. It is rented. Like you, especially for women, right? Especially for women, the standard of beauty is just constantly moving. Mm-hmm. And you have to have an idea of yourself outside of that standard of beauty. And you're probably not going to ever meet it if you're not here now. Mm-hmm. And if you are there now, make the most of it and make as much money as you can. I say join OnlyFans, start selling pictures of everything you got, selling pictures of your feet and making the most out of it, mm-hmm. and then move on. Mm-hmm. Because it's not worth it to lay down everything you got for the standard of beauty for today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites, I talk about her all the fucking time, Tracy mm-hmm. McMillan Cottom, mm-hmm. has an article on her website, When Your Brown Body is a White Wonderland. And she writes about Miley Cyrus and when she was black.
Yeah.
Yeah. When she tried on blackness for 3 years straight.
And I'm glad she's making sure we don't forget that, because that was a moment, y'all. And I know we love Miley. She got great voice, blah, blah, blah. We, you know, she's fine or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we ain't forget about that moment, Miley. Yeah.
Because it was so bad. It was so, I mean, she had black background dancers. Tressie talks about how these black background dancers look like her and how odd that was for Tressie. And Tressie is a big fan of country music. So she's a big fan of Miley's father.
Miley, yeah.
Just how strange it was how this woman was trying on her body, who she calls ugly, right? She flat out says, I'm not beautiful, but she's trying me on.
Mm-hmm. For
fun. To be in this wonderland for fun.
Yeah.
And that's the same as a rent controlled apartment overlooking Central Park. That can be snatched anytime from that landlord. So it's accurate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about
you?
Yeah,
I think it's, it's unfair, but it's just like, it's also your genes. Like, how am I going to change my mama's genes, my daddy's genes? Mm-hmm. Like, it is kind of unfair. I feel like all you have control over is just the person that you are, your character, working hard, feeling beautiful, like within yourself, living your life, and just like hoping for the best. It's unfair, but it's like, you know, as you said, society, beauty changes, as we see with how beauty was treated in this world of, was this 1999 this episode, New York? Yeah. Versus where we are now, which there's still a lot of work to be done, but just the leagues we have taken. I just feel like it's frustrating, obviously, when you're seeing people, you know, even in our space, this little podcast space
absolutely.
That is audio storytelling that's now become very visual, and we got to like look a certain way. And, you know, we see our contemporaries, I'd say, like other duos in our space who are, you know, doing, you know, big things. And we talk a lot, is it how they look? Is it their, is it race? Just like explicitly, or black, they're white. Like, what's the difference? And it can be very, very frustrating. And it, as Carrie says, it is unfair, but it's also like things that in a very surface level way, you can get injectables and Botox and change things. But in like the grand scheme of things, it's just kind of genes. You got to work with what you got, kind of thing. And as you said, a lot of it is confidence and how you carry yourself. And that will take you very, very far. But it's getting to a place of like accepting that, that is, takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of work when you're living in this society. And if you're
society
also,
has a lot of work to do.
Society within itself. And if you're in a body that is, has other markers of like being a minority, whether it's like your race or if you're queer or in a bigger body, like it's just all compounded. So it's unfair, but it's like, okay, how do I lean on other areas of things that I love about myself rather than focusing just on that? Because that would drive you crazy. Like, we would drive ourselves crazy if we really were like hyper focused on the other girls in the space of podcasts. We can't live like that.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's a rough can't life.
But yeah. Anything else, friend?
I just want to say it all goes back to Drag Race, because immediately as you said that, I thought of people like Silky Nutmeg Ganache, who literally look completely different.
Yeah.
Using foolishness. Elmer's glue and Sharpies. She uses crazy things to mark up her face. She looks great. And it's part of the magic of drag, to become a different identity, to entertain, to transform, and to still change people's lives, to still move up the ladder. And you are not yourself. You are playing a character. And it's what so many Republicans are mad at, because now they're so rich. Trixie Mattel is so rich, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yes. Kathy is so rich. Bob, Monet, they have like 200,000 patrons. They are so rich. And they are so mad. Because they don't live up to that standard of beauty. Bob talks about it all the time. That how Bob is with Peppermint, and people will be like, oh my God, Peppermint's so beautiful, and won't say shit about Bob. And it will be like, it's because I don't meet whatever standard they're looking at. You know? Anyway. But that's it. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like something I learned this episode is men... Some men are very much suckers for a pretty face until it's like no longer in their benefit to do so, which is what Big said.
Exactly.
About, I got to find a wife. So now I got to care about, you know, if she makes me laugh. And yeah, when it's time to settle down, start a family, get serious, that's when they kind of like spartan up, some of them, not all of them, and realize the other characters and qualities are important. But until then, a lot of guys are just going to chase a pretty face. A lot of women do. They're just going to chase what's pretty. Women and that's kind of that, because beauty is power. Beauty is currency. Beauty makes you feel good. Being associated with beauty makes you feel good.
That's it too.
And a lot of people grow out of it, but some people stay, and it kind of just is like the way of the world, I guess. And humans. Yeah. That's it, guys.
That's it.
What an interesting little episode.
I was so excited to talk about this one. Yes.
Yes. Let us know what you guys think, just about beauty as a currency, beauty and power, beauty and dating, you know, experiences being in the online space. Do you feel like it's helped kind of dispel just like the restrictions around getting access if you're not beautiful? Or do you think it's not helped? I'd love to hear people's thoughts. And yeah, we'll be back next week for episode three.
Sure will, guys.
See you guys then.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.